Where's the line I wanted to say? Oh. Today we're going to talk about 1 in 26 because, Jeff, 1 in 26 of us could come up with epilepsy?
Yeah, at some point.
That's a real number?
Yeah, it's a real number of people that could have a seizure in their lifetime. Not everyone that has a seizure has epilepsy, but okay. It's a much larger number. There are over 3 million Americans now that have epilepsy, and it's the stigma is still there, and the challenges are real for people in their lives.
Now, is it true that it's kind of weird because it affects younger people and older people?
Yes, you can develop epilepsy at any point in time in your life. You can have it at birth, and you can develop it as a senior citizen, anywhere in between.
So, I mean, is there anything you can do to not get it? I mean, if you're an adult.
No, it often comes from maybe you're genetically predisposed to it. And certain things that happen in your life can contribute to it. So it could happen to anybody at any time.
Wow. And locally, I mean, do we know? I mean, how many people are with that malady in our general area here?
Tens of thousands of people in our area. We cover an area that covers from Rochester, Syracuse, Binghamton, and we provide supports and services to almost 7,000 people in that area. And we don't serve all the people that have epilepsy in Western and Central New York.
Now, you're the CEO of Epilepsy Alliance. Is that?
I'm the board chair of Epilepsy Alliance of America, but I'm the CEO of EPI, Empowering People's
okay.
Independence.
All right, EPI is that? That's the local one.
Yes.
Okay. I get confused with you guys sometimes.
We just changed what we tell the world about ourselves and our brand. So yeah, you're not the only one.
Okay. I'm easily confused. You know. What's our challenges right now? What's going on in the epilepsy world? Is it research or is it just something where you have to care for the people?
Well, surprisingly, not a lot has happened medically for people with epilepsy over the past 30 or 40 years. A handful of different medications have come out, but medical technology has not helped people a lot in with their epilepsy. So they rely on human service organizations like ours to provide other supports to help them live the life the way they want to live it. So we provide, we have a camp for children and a camp for adults people that have epilepsy. We do teen education programs. We give college scholarships to folks. We run support groups. We connect people to services and supports they might need to live their lives.
And you said you cover all of the upstate here from Syracuse West?
Yeah, we have an office, two offices right now in Rochester. We have an office in Syracuse and one in Binghamton. And we pretty much cover everything south of Lake Ontario from Rochester over to Syracuse.
So what degree of services do you provide? I mean, is there a cutoff point where you guys, they're just out of something you can't help them with? Or?
No, we serve people that have epilepsy that have had one seizure in their whole life or two seizures in their life, and that's it. And it's just one time touch point to help give people a little bit of guidance. Right on up to 24/7, 365 days a year. We have individuals that can live in our group homes or 10-day programs of ours that happen to have epilepsy as well. So no matter who has epilepsy or to the degree it impacts their life or other disabilities that might come with it, mental health disabilities, developmental disabilities, we can provide services and supports to all of those people.
There's a lot of stigma attached.
A lot of stigma, yes. You know, there are people in this world today that still think epilepsy can be contagious. There are people that, you know, they have very old school thoughts about what to do. I mean, if someone's having a seizure, you kind of guide them to the ground and make sure they're safe, but there's still people trying to put spoons in mouths like that, which is actually a very dangerous thing to do. So there's a lot that we do to try and we go into schools and we provide awareness. So if a child has epilepsy, we'll go in and educate the nurses, the teachers, the phys ed folks about what to do in a seizure and what to be, how to respond and to not be afraid. It's just a person with a health issue.
With a health issue. And you mentioned how it's actually some people have had one or two seizures in their lifetime, and that's it.
Yeah, and there are people that, on the other end, that are pretty much living in a constant state of having seizures really? Their entire life.
So, but back to the person that might have only had one or two seizures, are they considered epileptic? Is that the
yeah,
term?
Yeah, generally, I think with two seizures, that's when they can diagnose a person with epilepsy. And someone might have epilepsy and not take any medication or need any special assistance for their whole life. It's just something that they just, this could happen. And for many people, medication and medical visits are enough to meet their needs, and they can go on and live great lives. But for people that have active seizures, for example, those folks can't drive.
So you read my mind. That's where I was going
to
go.
Yeah. So you need to be seizure free for minimally 6 months, but as much as a year in New York State, and get a doctor to sign off it. So if you're a professional and you need to get to your job and stuff and you can't drive, it's going to impact your ability to work and to pay for your life. So that's just one little example of the ways that epilepsy can impact a person's life.
Wow. So these challenges are broad.
Yes.
Very broad.
Yes, all-encompassing.
So now you've got tailored solutions for your people. Mm-hmm. It needs financing.
Oh, yeah.
It needs financing.
Most of the epilepsy programs that we run are done from donor dollars. We're kind of a larger human service agency. We serve a number of different populations, and we have funding streams to cover that. But the services we provide for people with epilepsy are really funded by donors. And if it wasn't for people coming to our events or contributing to us, we wouldn't be able to provide the supports and services we do.
And that's why we brought Lorena with us, right?
That is why we brought Lorena.
Lorena, sneak in over there. Get close to it. Okay. Get the mic. So tell us, we started with the 1 in 26. There's a 1 in 26 challenge. You want to explain a little?
Yes. Because of COVID, it's hard to hold events in person. So we decided to have a hybrid challenge. So we are asking participants between October 1st and October 26th to run, walk, bike 1 mile a day. So it's 1 in 26 to reflect the statistic.
I can do that.
Yes. Or you can run a marathon all at once.
Yeah.
But we do have a kickoff event. At Wickham Farm in Penfield. It's going to be on Saturday, October the 2nd.
I think I'm going to that.
Yeah, that's fantastic that we're going to have you there. And we can do a 1 mile all together. So it's going to be safe. We are outside. So, but we can, kick off the challenge in October all together.
And we'll start getting that fall feeling.
Exactly. And Wickham Farm is a perfect place for that. And people who register will be able to get an all-day pass to Wickham Farm's attractions.
Oh, cool.
So
that's...
they can spend a day there and enjoy all the attractions.
I was just going to say, I was so happy when they come in and go, oh, we're going to do the kickoff event at Wickham Farms. And I'm like, that's my CSA. I get all my produce there. It's such a beautiful place. And they
it
have
is.
So much
it
there,
is.
The orchards, the,
yeah.
the areas for the kids to play.
Yeah, we think it's going to be perfect for families.
How do we get signed up for that?
You can go on epiny.org.
Oh,
and you can
easy.
Register there. It's $26 for adults and $13 for kids over 13 and for pets because, often you walk with your pets, so you can register your pet and walk with your dogs. And, we're asking everybody to share on social media.
That's how I get my miles in is walking
exactly.
my dogs.
Yeah, so, and it's free for kids under 3.
Okay. What else should we know? I mean, for the whole challenge for the whole month, I mean, that they don't have to come on the 2nd is what I'm trying to say.
No, they don't. They can participate on their own. We have a tracking sheet so they can check all their miles. If people post on social media, we'll have prizes every day for people who post their miles on social media. So we really hope for great participation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you can participate as an individual or you can create a team. So we already have a lot of teams forming. So that's fantastic.
Well, and that's what I like is that it's outdoors if people do want to come and participate. But if they don't want to, they can still participate. And we did a virtual only one event last year and it went really well. So really excited to be able to kick off one at Wickham for the people that want to come out and be together. We can and we can all still participate in the event.
Yeah, I've actually helped with a lot of very successful virtual
events per se, but I'll tell you what, a lot of people thank you when you actually have the live event too.
Yeah.
You know, they like getting out there, and especially it's outdoors, it's the beginning of fall, you know, at Wickham Farms, it should be a good time. And like you said, it's perfect for the kids.
Yeah, and even if the weather is inclement or people don't want to come out, they still can use that pass at Wickham for a whole year, right?
Yeah, Wickham was, they were very generous. And so we will have the kickoff walk, rain or shine.
Right.
But if it's not, if there is inclement weather, the Wickham will give us a pass to use anytime that people want. So, yeah.
Any other challenges that that the general public need to know about and that they can help with the EPI?
We're a full service human service agency.
I mean, do you have volunteers and stuff?
We do have volunteers. We in addition to serving people with epilepsy, which we're always looking for help with our chocolate ball that happens in February.
Oh yeah.
And other things. We're looking for assistance to help support the services for people with developmental disabilities, brain injuries that we serve. So if people have a passion or an interest, please contact us. We will find some way to make a meaningful experience out of it for people.
This may be a dumb question, but how do you know if you had a seizure? I mean, is it that evident or
yeah, it's actually
telltale signs.
There are a lot of people that when they get diagnosed, they've actually been having seizures for a long time.
Really?
One type of seizure is an absence seizure, where you may be just staring off into the distance for a few seconds at a time, and a teacher might just think a child has ADD or is distracted by what's happening outside, and they're having seizure activity. The more noticeable seizures, like the tonic-clonic, those are the ones, the grand mal, where people might fall to the ground and have convulsions. Those don't get misdiagnosed, but typically some of the very subtle seizures can be missed for years by parents, by individuals, and by the people around them. So having some education and understanding of what they're looking at can get the medical attention sooner, which can get people on the course to not have epilepsy impact their life. So awareness is a big piece of what we do. And then assisting people through education when they find this, educating them and the people around them to support them so that they can live as full of a life as they can.
So again, and you said if somebody is having a seizure and you don't know what to do, don't do just maybe assist them to the ground or to a chair or something like that.
And
but don't be
safe.
Sticking things in their mouth.
No. Maybe turn them on their side if you need to, but you really don't need to do much. And then when they're done, be there, meet their needs, and call for help if it's needed.
Right.
So staying calm is probably the biggest thing that you want to remind people. Just like if there's a fire in a building, if everyone panics and does, they'll do weird things. And
The old wives' tale. I remember somebody said you got to grab their tongue so they don't swallow their tongue.
No,
you know,
it's impossible to swallow your tongue.
That's what I thought.
but a person could have a mild obstruction, or if they're eating, they could choke. But usually if you turn a person on their side, if they're laying on a floor or something, then that's not an issue. So, and in fact, if you go to stick your fingers or something in someone's mouth, somebody could bite down and really harm you. So, those are just the kinds of things that you think, you know, people know, but there's so much information in the world, and we're not all experts at everything.
Exactly.
So just a little bit of education can help.
The 1 in 26 number was very shocking to me.
It is a surprising number. And even the sheer volume of people that have epilepsy in the country, it's epilepsy likes to piggyback with other things. So people often have epilepsy and autism, epilepsy and a mental health disorder, epilepsy and other chronic health conditions. So it can exacerbate or complicate their lives dramatically.
1 in 26 challenge. Lorena, tell us more about it again. Give us the whole rundown.
Yeah.
Because I like hearing you talk.
Yeah, thank you. Register at epiny.org and then join us at Wickham Farms on Saturday, October 2nd for a kickoff 1 mile group walk.
I'm guessing is October Epilepsy Awareness Month.
Actually, November.
It's every month. October is like every month, isn't it? It's breast cancer, it's this, it's that.
It's November, but We couldn't do a kickoff outside in November, so we thought, let's prepare to, you know.
We do have a bunch of activities in Epilepsy Awareness Month in November, but all the affiliates from Miami and Louisiana are like, why don't you want to do a walk in November? And like, it's a little colder here than it is
for you.
You
ever been in New York in November? It could be 60. It could be 6.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those deals. And of course, the chocolate ball, do we know the date for 2022
yet? Yes, we do. It's Saturday, February 5th.
Okay.
And it's going to be at the Hyatt.
Okay. Put that in your calendars,
yes,
kids.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Jeff Sinnebox, the CEO, and Lorena Delancey from Epilepsy, EPI, the local one. Thank you for coming in. And 1 in 26 on October 2nd.
Thank you,
Dina. So much.